Okay, so today is the 3rd of December 2019. I think the 4th of Mar Cheshvan. The 5th of Kislev, Tafshin Pei. And here we go. We are up to Halacha Day of the 5th Perek of Devarim. And there are all sorts of choices from the Aseret Divros, and we're going to ignore all of them. I think the first time I checked in Parshas, when you did learn Parshas Yisro, we did the Sugya of jealousy. What's going on? What exactly is that prohibition? Shabbos we've done often. I think Kivud Avim we've done in the past as well. So I would like to go, however, to the end of the parak, where we said the following. The pasuk says, if I can pull it up.
In the parak,
in the fifth parak of, yeah. So at the end of the story here, so he says, Mi tainva in pasuk haf, Zion says lechem mor lachem. Well, look at one pasuk before. Mi tein vayalavam zela hem liyarat usili shpores kol mitzusai kolayim leman yitav lehem levenehem liola. That who can assure that your heart will remain theirs to fear me, observe me, and you know, making sure everything is going to stick with regards to the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. So then he says lechem mor lachem shuv lachem la lechem. So now you can all go to your tents. Hashem said, go and tell them you can go back to your tents. However, you, you're going to stay with me, and I'm going to speak to you. Fine. So there is a very important rule that is learned out from this pasuk of Leichem, or Lechem, Shuvu Lechem, Leor Lechem. Go and tell them that they have to go back to their tents. And that is Davar Shema Minyan. It's known as Davar Shema Minyan, Sarach Minyan Acher Lahatira. That's something that is a Davar Shema Minyan. What is a Davar Shema Minyan? Yes, Alan, a Chromebook. You have one? We can talk about it later. it appeared on the screen right now. So what is the story of Leichem Mor Lachem Shuvu Lachem? So what's the Davar Shem Minyan? Davar Shem Minyan is something that was established by a number of rabbis. That's not just any number of rabbis. It's talking about a specific number of rabbis. A takana, right? Something that was established by Chazal. So there is a rule, a geder, some kind of derabanan that was put into place, or some kind of takana rule that was put in. So, and then the reason goes away. We'll give examples shortly. And then the reasons that caused that to go away. So it's not just enough to say, oh, well, the reason went away, it must be that the rabbinic law falls away as well. Rather, it's, you require another minyan, a davar shem minyan, something of that was done by a number of rabbis, needs another number of rabbis, and in fact, that are gadol shebehem b'chachma v'minyan, that are greater than them in wisdom and number, whatever it is that means, in order to nullify that previous gezeirah, in order to nullify that previous thing that was made. Okay, so that's the rule. It's learned out from this pasuk. Because what is the reason that the Jews, when it says shuv lachem li'or aleichem, go back to your tents, it's referring to go back and you could be with your wives once again. Why were they separate from their wives? What happened there? So the rule was, in the 3 days before Har Sinai, they were told, everybody has to separate from their wives for three days. That's a pasuk. In fact, Moshe added on a day, and Moshe figured out on his own they should add a day. There's a whole interesting story about that. Maybe we'll cover it later this week. But, why were they told to separate from their wives? So that they will be pure, so that they will be ready to have Kabbalah Satorah, to receive the Torah, in a state of purity. Right? Good? So, now that the Torah was given, it should go away, right? The reason was obvious, so the reason went away. So everyone should go back. Why do they need Hashem to tell them that they could go back? So Gemara learns out this idea. That's the proof to this idea, that if there's a din derabanan, a rabbinic law, and you require another, and the reason goes away, still you need the rabbanan themselves to come along and say that the gezeirah is batal. And perhaps that explains, that idea is found in Gemara Maseches Beitza, and it perhaps explains another very famous Gemara, another very famous halacha, right? What is the famous halacha I'm referring to? The ideas of 2 days of Yantif. What's the story with 2 days? Why do we keep 2 days of Yantif outside of Eretz Yisrael? Anybody know? The uncertainty of when it was, yeah. What exactly is that uncertainty? What was the uncertainty?
When the new moon appeared.
Right. So a basin established when the month would begin based on when the moon appeared. Right? When they say, ah, today's Rosh Chodesh, right? It could be today, it could be tomorrow. Right? There's a possibility of 2 days when it could actually be. So they weren't sure which day it was. They would send messengers out to report when that day was, just in case Twitter was down. But didn't get out all the way, right? Maybe these messengers didn't get that far. So if you weren't sure what day, which day Yontif was, so you would keep 2 days. Okay, that's why we keep that. That was the became the rule that we're going to keep 2 days in places where the messengers wouldn't get to. Good so far? So the Gemara asks, "Vahashta diadinan bekfiya diarcha." Says nowadays that we know when Rosh Chodesh was established, right? We know how to establish the moon. My time mavdinan treyomi. Why is it that we still continue to keep 2 days of Yontif? Good. That's a question on everyone's mind. So Gemara answers, "Mishum deshalchu misam." Right, so they sent the following message back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hazaru b'minog avoseichem b'yadeichem. Be careful with the minog of your forefathers in your hands. Zimnin de'gazri ha'malchus gezeira v'yasi l'kakule. Because there are times when the government is going to make a difficult decree, going to forbid people from studying Torah, v'yasi l'kakule. And then you're going to come to make a mistake. What exactly is that mistake? So it's a little hard. You're not going to have the appropriate calendar, or maybe you just won't have access to a calendar. You won't know what day it is. If you don't know what day it is, so you should know that the option exists of keeping 2 days of Yontif. Okay? Now, the Gemara technically said, it seems, the Gemara maybe gave two answers there, right? It seems like it's saying two different things. One is, he's haru b'minagav aseichem yadeichem. Keep them in hugim of your forefathers in your hands. What does that mean? What does that sound like? That sounds like, keep them in hugim. It was a davar shebe minyan. It was established as something you needed to do. So you're going to continue doing it, even if the reason does go away. And then they come along and say, oh, and here's also a reason, because it could be that it's going to be applicable again. Why is it that there is the need for two reasons? Okay, that's the question I wanted to raise. Yeah? Good? You look like you want to say something.
I just had one quick question. When we said the original reason people didn't know, I thought that was during the time of the Gemara. So already during the time of the Gemara, they knew with precision, like we know today when Rosh Chodesh begins? It's strange.
Yes. They already had the Kavinan Diarcha. When was the Kavinan Diarcha? What is it referring to when it says that we've established the calendar?
Right. Well, what was it? They knew...
Yeah. So there's somebody named Hillel. You may have heard of Hillel,
yeah.
But not that Hillel. Oh. It was a different Hillel. The Hillel was both the first Tana, but the first Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, as well as the last Nasi. But it wasn't the same guy, right? There was Hillel, and then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? That whole group were Nasiim, and the very last one was Hillel. The last Hillel, known as Hillel HaZakein, the elder Hillel, just to make sure you get more confused, right? The elder Hillel, he is credited with establishing the calendar, because the calendar can only be established in Eretz Yisrael. And by his time, things were getting kind of dicey in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, we think the period of the Amorayim, he's already living in the period of the Amorayim in Eretz Yisrael, right? People like Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, that era. So pretty soon after them, the period of Amorayim in Israel begins to peter out, and the center of Torah clearly moves to Bavel. So he realizes this is going to be a problem. How are we going to continue to establish the month by having witnesses come if there's not going to be a basin here anymore? So he established the calendar for the next, the calendar cycle that we still use today. It's credited with Hill. And what exactly he did and what he didn't do, etc. So there is a fascinating article if you're into this kind of thing. If you're not into this kind of thing, you'll probably just fall asleep. But in one of the Hakira journals, there's a journal called Hakira.
Yeah.
You've seen this.
Yeah.
You subscribe?
I don't subscribe, but I've seen it.
So excellent.
The Chabad, they have it there.
Really? At Chabad of Delaware, they have Hakira?
Yeah, I don't have that read, but they're okay. Fascinating. They're
right.
Very difficult, complex,
yes.
Mathematical.
Yes, so that one of the difficult, complex ones is on this topic. What exactly did Hillel think? It's available online. Their rule is that when they sell out all the journals, they just post it online. So you get all the articles. You get all the articles online.
Not the current ones, right? Older ones.
Once that issue gets sold out,
right, you can get it. Right. That's
it puts online. So you can get all the, and it's nicely indexed. You can you can find stuff. So you could find this article to figure out exactly what was going on there.
And then you got to understand it. That's another.
Yeah, then you got to work on it. Some articles are easier than others, but okay. Fine. So there is so then the Gemara continues on with the following. I don't want to spend that much time on establishing this, but the Gemara has a discussion about keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right? Now Rosh Hashanah is considered one long, it's not the same as the other 2 days of Yom Tov. How do you see that? Well, it's in Eretz Yisrael, they keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to the other Yom Tov of the year, where they don't. So the Gemara comments, so how did that come about? So the reason is because in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't know when the month was going to be, and messengers can't get anywhere. Right? Forget about the messengers getting to Babel. Messengers couldn't even get across the street if there was time. And in fact, there were some years that if the witness would come in the afternoon of the day that could potentially be Rosh Hashanah, so it was too late. They had already brought the korban. They had already sang the song for a non Rosh Hashanah day. So they said, okay, so today's gonna be Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow's gonna be Rosh Hashanah. So what does that mean? That's a 2 day official Rosh Hashanah, which is sort of counting as one. Which is going to have halachic ramification. The halachic ramification that the Gemara in Maseches Beitza is talking about is an egg that is born on the first day can eat on the second day. So on Pesach, if an egg is born on the first day of Pesach, you could eat it on the second day of Pesach. Why is that? Because we recognize in halacha that only one of them is the real, only one of them is the real yontif. We're just not sure which one it is. So we say, if yesterday was on the second day of yontif, if yesterday was the real yontif, so then today isn't. Then I'm going to eat the egg. And if yesterday wasn't the real yontif, today is. That means that this egg was born before yontif, in which case I'm allowed to eat the egg. Right, that's on other days, but by Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be considered one long day, and it's not going to work. So the Gemara comments, Amar Rabba mita kanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'elach beitz muteres, that from Yochanan ben Zakkai's time and onwards, it was okay. Why? The beitzah should be okay. Why? The snan, mishachar beis ha-miglish, hiskar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shumah kabbal edus ha-chodesh kol ayom. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai established that they could accept edim the entire day, in which case the 2 day merger is no longer applicable. So Amar Le Abai, the Gemara asks, v'ha Rabba v'shmul dami trevayu beitzah asur, but Rav and Shmuel both say that the beitzah is asur. So Amar Le says, Amin aloch anu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, I'm talking about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and you're quoting Rav and Shmuel. What do they have to do with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? They are Amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is a Tana, lived a couple hundred years before. The Gemara says, okay, but how does Rav and Shmuel understand the rule of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Right, Rabbi Shmuel would say that it's aser. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying that it would be mutter. So he says, lo kasha halon v'haluhu. That was different. One's in Eretz Yisrael, and one's in Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean? Because in Eretz Yisrael is a question whether you're going to keep 1 day or 2 days, right? So if that's the case, so then the egg, perhaps you'd fall into this suffix pattern again. But in Chutz La'aretz, where Rav and Shmuel were both living, they were living in Bavel, the rule never went away. The idea that the egg was prohibited on both days, that rule never went away. They're going to keep 2 days before, they keep 2 days now, and therefore they're going to keep the chumrah of the 2 days. It's never going to fall away. Rabbi Yosef has his own idea that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as well, the beitzah would be prohibited, even in Israel. Why? Havi davar shem minyan, v'chol davar shem minyan tzarech minyan achar la'atiro, based on this rule, because that's a davar shem minyan, a rule that was made, and even if the reason for it goes away, because now we're taking witnesses the entire day as opposed to only for part of the day, we never repealed the egg rule. We never repealed that part. And Rav Yosef makes a comment, Ana mina mina, where do I get this idea from? Dichsiv, lechem or lachem, shu lachem li'o lechem. He says, go back to your tents, based on our pasuk. That based on our you no longer have to be separated from your wives. You can go back to your tents. Obviously should be permitted to go back to their tents. He says, no, it's not so obvious. You need it. Hashem made the rule. You need Hashem to take it away. Okay, that is the Gemara here, and that so therefore that should be good enough reason why we keep 2 days of Yantif. Why do we keep 2 days of Yantif? Because that was a rule that was made by a number of Rabbanim. You're going to need the same number to be able to nullify it.
So theoretically it could have been nullified if they got together.
Right. The problem is we don't know what that means. What does that mean that it has to be gadol mimenu b'chachmo v'minyan, greater than them in wisdom.
Usually the next generation is not great.
Right. And our assumption is Yeridah Sedoros. Right. So in fact, there is a whole debate about the idea of Yeridah Sedoros, about what that means, descending of generations. There are some who don't take it as seriously as others. And in fact, one of the proofs that they bring is this. They say, well, the Gemara makes an allotment for saying that the later generation could be greater in Chachma Minyan than the previous generation. So it must be that that could happen. So the others answer, no. The point of that is to say that it's not going to happen. So that's an interesting debate. Maybe we'll save that. We can save that for another time. Right. So the problem is that, and Reb Schechter has a beautiful article on this in Eretz Tzvi, his first sefer, that we do see plenty of examples of where the reason goes away, the gezerah goes away. Right, and he brings a bunch of examples here where this does happen. That there was a takana or a gezerah that was made. What the differences between those we'll save for another time. And because the reason went away, and the reason for it, the underlying reason for it fell away, and we continue to, and therefore the gezerah itself went away. Okay?
There are examples.
So we'll give, he brings, I don't know, five, six examples here. I'll bring one quick one and one longer one. The quick one is the following. He quotes here that in... when are you mitzvos that take place that need to take place during the day? For example, shofar, lulav, Megillas Esther, Shema. Well, Shema is not a good example. Tefillah maybe is a good example. All right, there are a bunch of examples that need to take place during the day. What's the earliest you can do it?
Nates.
Yeah, sunrise. Do we always do that? Do we always wait till Nates? So this time of year. Right, most of us are probably minyanim in the morning are meeting generally before Nates, right? Why is that okay? So why do we wait till Nates? So the assumption then is that day actually begins what we call Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is the beginning of the day. That's when the Torah recognizing the day begins. Right? For example, when's the latest time you could daven Maariv? Right, the latest time to daven Maariv is what we call Alos HaShachar, the first rays of the sun, dawn. Right? Before the sun comes up, it's already getting light. Right? So that's really the beginning of the day. Why do we wait till Nates? Because we might get confused, right? It might be maybe it's a we want to make sure that it's daytime before we go ahead and do these mitzvahs. Right? So there he quotes here from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in one of the in the Mikrei Kodesh. He quotes he refers to that plenty of places in Europe. Right, if there was a mitzvah that needed to take place some point during the day, well, you wait till Nates, excuse me. But there are some, but the example of Dalet Minim, taking the four Minim on Sukkos. So in many places in Europe, they didn't. Nowadays we're used to it. Everybody has their own lulav and esrog, and it's no problem. But in a lot of these towns, there was like one esrog maybe that they had in town. Like all these shailas about, can you use an esrog from one year to the next? Right? They didn't have the dalet minim accessible, so the town would have one set of dalet minim, and people would line up to shake the dalet minim over the course of the day, and they would line up the entire day. So it's recorded the aderes was. The name forgetting the name right now. Teumim was the last name. Forgetting the name. He's also known as Rav Kook's father-in-law. Made his way eventually to Eretz Yisrael to be the chief rabbi. Well, to be the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Although his predecessor never passed away, or passed away after him. So he was only chosen to be the chief rabbi. He only ended up being the assistant chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He was before that. He was the Rav of Panovich. So, and he records that in the town of Panovich, there was one set of dalet minim, and people would line up from the beginning of the day till the end of the day to shake it over the course of Sukkot, to do the na'anuim. And when would they start? Alos HaShachar, right? So why would they start? Why were they allowed to start at Alos HaShachar? Didn't they have to wait till Neitz HaChama? So he explains. He says, why do we wait till Neitz HaChama? He says, perhaps because it's a suffix. We're not so sure that people might make a mistake. They might get the moon and the sun confused. They're not sure. So therefore, we say, wait till it be Neitz HaChama. Wait for the sun to be up. And then you'll know that it's daytime. And you won't have a problem. You won't do the mitzvah before it's actually daytime. So says the Aderes, says, yeah, maybe that was only a problem before there were clocks. But nowadays we have clocks. We know exactly what time it is. So therefore we don't have to worry about getting confused. We know what time Alos HaShachar is, and therefore you could start doing shaking the Dalet Minim already from Alos HaShachar. You don't have to wait until Neitz HaChama. Right? That's what he says. So Rav Shechter says, whoa, wait a second. Right? Isn't the idea of waiting till Netzachama, the idea of waiting till sunrise, that's a Davar Shebaminyan. That's like a Din Derabbanan. It's a rabbinic law. So you're going to tell me the reason goes away. Why does the reason go away? Because we have clocks today. Fine. But you need then you need a Beis Din to come along and formally annul it. That never happened. That never happened. Right? So why are you allowed to... Why was the Adaret okay with that? Okay? I'll give one other example.
What's the answer?
Let's hold on. So I'll give another example of that. One other example where it seems like the Din Derabbanan is getting nullified. The Gemara itself presents a Din Derabbanan that, let's do the follow. If a person, what material can tzitzis be made out of? Tzitzis can be made out of wool or linen, right? And the garment can be made out of wool or linen. And if you have a linen garment, you should wear linen tzitzis, right, in order to avoid shatness, right? Okay. There's only one problem, right? Let's say you have a linen garment and you want to have put on tcheles, and you have the right tcheles, right? You want to have tcheles. The halacha is that tcheles has to be on a wool string. So what you're going to end up doing is having a linen garment and attaching a wool string to it in violation of shatness. Now, is that okay? The answer is yes. Because there's a rule, ase docha lo sase, that if the only way to fulfill the mitzvah's ase is to also do a lo sase, the ase wins out. The positive commandment wins out. So therefore, you would wear a linen garment with wool tzitzis, knowing full well that you're in violation of the prohibition of shatness. So far, so good, right? It's like doing a bris on Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to do brises on Shabbos, but if there's a mitzvah, so ase docha lo tase, the mitzvah wins out. The Gemara realized, back in the day, when there were... Techeles is what was expensive, and it still is expensive, right? Techeles is very expensive. So people developed a copy, a fraud techeles, indigo, right? Some dye that very closely matched techeles, and they were selling it, right? And there are people, right? That's why they needed, you know, there was no OU on it, you know, it was before the days of the OU and the chafke and bedats. So what are you going to do, right? So the guy's saying that he sold it, right? You hope you get the right thing. Who knows? Right? You hope you buy from a trustworthy person. The Rabbanim came along during the time, the Mishnah records this, the Gemara records this, and says that the Rabbanim came along and made a rule, no more wearing linen garments with tzitzis, because you may be affixing the indigo rather than the techeles. And if you're only affixing indigo rather than techeles, you're in violation of shatness. Right? Fine. Fast forward 1,000 years, the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, shows up in Spain. He has a fascinating life. He grew up in Germany. He learned in Germany. He's an Ashkenazi, known as his training is all Ashkenaz, and eventually had to run away from Germany. He made his way to Spain. Right? When he gets to Spain, he meets the Rashba. He learns Bechavrusa with the Rashba for a year or so, and then the Rashba finds a position for him in the town of Toledo. Not Toledo. Toledo's in Ohio. Toledo's in Spain. Right, so he ends up being the Rav in Toledo, and he, you know, it's weird. Like, he's an Ashkenazi rabbi in the middle of Spain, and that gets him into all sorts of trouble. One of them actually being relevant to tomorrow night, because tomorrow night is when we switch to V'tein Talumato Livracha. So he held that we should say V'tein Talumato Livracha the entire year, because you need rain the entire year, or at least to extend the period of time. And all the Balavatim are ready to throw him out. You know, are you crazy? You can't do that, then fine. So for another time. So the Rush actually records a lot of minhagim that he considers odd. Like, the Sfarim are doing this, and I don't get it. So one of the things that he records is that they're all walking around in linen talasim. He says, didn't they get the memo? Didn't they know that linen talasim are not allowed? So the Rush turns around and says, ah, I know why they're wearing linen talasim, because the only reason that they prohibited wearing the linen talasim is if you're going to wear it with techeles. My balabatim, none of them have techeles. We're living in Spain in the 1200s. So the reason for the gezeira goes away, and therefore the gezeira itself goes away, right? And therefore they're allowed to wear their linen garments. So the Rush himself. So how could that be? How could that be, right? Don't you need a formal declaration? So the Rush himself alludes to it, and it's developed more by Rav Shechter in his article in Simen Yud Tesef Eretz Tzvi. He says, when is it that a Dover Shebe Minyan requires another pastin in order to get rid of it, where the reason for the rule wasn't incorporated as part of the rule? Sometimes the Gezerah is part of the rule. Sometimes the reason is part of the Gezerah, and sometimes it's not part of the Gezerah, and we're left to guess, or we're left to assume. So if it's part of the Gezerah, so what the Rabbanan were doing was, they were building into the Gezerah the idea that if the reason goes away, it's going to go away even, you know, you're not going to need a formal declaration in order to get rid of it. Right? They could do that. In fact, we're running out of time, but part of the reason that we know that could be done is that the same thing applies with regards to the Torah itself. The Torah itself, we assume that one is not permitted to be darshin and time and dekra, figuring out the reason for the mitzvos. We can't paskin based on what we assume the reason for the mitzvos are, unless the Torah itself gives us the reason, in which case we could. Okay, but that'll make the shiur a much longer shiur to get into that. So the Rabbanan are patterned after that. Okay, so that's what the Rush says. The Rush says, the reason is because the reason is known. If the reason is known, so then the reason could go away. And then Rav Shechter adds, the Rush alludes to this, and Rav Shechter develops it. He says, and when was it? When did the Rabbanan add the reason into the mitzvah, into the Gezerah? When did that take place? Specifically, when it is a mitzvah that is what we call oker davar min haTorah, or din derabanan, that removes a mitzvah or removes the ability to do a mitzvah. The rabbanan have the right to do that. We see that all the time. Most famously, perhaps Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. Why is that okay? So rabbis come along and said, yeah, the Torah says you should blow shofar, and we're telling you not to because we're afraid of something, right? So when the reason is incorporated as part of the gezerah, so then it could go away if the reason goes away. So if you look at the examples that I gave of where the reason seems to have gone away, so number one is the story with the taking the dalad minim, even before Netzachama, even before sunrise. Right? There's a gezerah you can't take before sunrise. The answer is, no, if we're going to keep that gezerah, that's going to mean that people aren't going to get to do the mitzvah. If people aren't going to get to do the mitzvah, so then the gezerah falls away if the reason falls away. Okay? Not the gezerah might still keep people from doing the mitzvah under some circumstances, but if the reason for it is gone, I mean, nowadays we have clocks, so therefore the gezerah itself is going to go away. The same thing with the talisim. With the talisim, people are going to put on what exactly were the Rabbanan saying? The Rabbanan were saying that if you're wearing a four-cornered linen garment, don't put tzitzis on it. Right? So you're keeping from doing a mitzvah? Yeah. We're concerned that it's going to lead to shatness. But if there's no longer a concern that it's going to lead to shatness, then it's going to go.
Why is it no longer a concern?
Because we don't have. Because no one's going to put wool tzitzis on it because we know we don't have techeles. Now, nowadays, we do actually know. In fact, one of my rebbeim when I was in yeshiva said one of the reasons not to wear tcheles bezman hazeh is because of this kala'ilin concern. It's because of the concern that maybe it's fake and then people are going to put on linen garments and it's going to lead to problems. So, anyways, that's and then you go back to the second day of Yontif. Perhaps the same kind of concept exists as well. And the second day of Yontif. Are we losing out on doing any mitzvos by keeping the second day of Yontif?
Not putting on tefillin.
What?
Not putting on tefillin.
Yes, that's the key one. Not putting on tefillin. The Rabbanu came along and said, don't put on tefillin today in the interest of keeping a second day of Yontif. So nowadays we don't have a reason to keep the second day of Yontif anymore, maybe because we know what day it is. So therefore if we're just going to say, well, we're just going to keep the minhag the way it always was, that's not good enough, because you can't just keep a minhag the way it was if it's going to interfere with doing other mitzvos. So perhaps that's why the Gemara had to give a second reason, enhanced reason. Enhanced reason is because you could be in a government and you might not know what day it is, and therefore keep 2 days Yom Tov, it might become relevant once again. So that's something to keep his mind. Why did the Gemara feel compelled to add that? Because because they need to give, they need to demonstrate that the reason is still relevant today. Why do they keep 2 days a yantif? A, because it's always been done that way, and B, because it's still relevant today. It could become, it's not so hard to imagine that a Jew would be left someplace in some prison somewhere and not really know what day it is and have to judge by the moon, you know, what the, when yantif is. Right? This has been done in the last century. So know that you have the opportunity to keep 2 days of yantif, just to make sure that you get it right. In order to maintain that knowledge in the world, so to speak, so the minhag should continue on as well. So at a time, this maybe leads to some other ramifications as well, but we'll have to continue on with that some other time.
There is a valid reason, because if you look at the moon, you could get approximately